Say, good morning, friends. Good morning.
Good morning.
No, that's not good enough. Good morning. That's still not good enough. Good morning. Okay, Pastor Al works out. That's adrenaline. It gets your heart pumping, gets your mind moving. First of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Glenn for inviting me to come. Wow, it was a small window, but a blessed window. The Lord led, and I came July the 1st. Two things happened. First, we were planning a family trip to Alaskan Cruise on July the 1st. We had to cancel out. So I had my calendar cancel July the 1st. But the Lord gave me 50 out of 52 Sundays preaching to seven churches. And then Pastor Glenn called me and said, would you like to come on July the 1st? I said, wow, what an opportunity. So Pastor Glenn, I took it. I wanted to be back at Grace Bible. I have a long-standing relationship with this church, with your founding pastors, and with Pastor Alan Jen. Tell a couple stories before we get into the message. But one thing, pastored in the Bay Area for 26 years, Chinese Bible Church and Chinese Independent Baptist Church, 26 years. I continue to preach for 13 years in the Bay Area, so I have about 30 years in the Bay Area. And we have a fond connection between Oakland and Sacramento. Did you know your own Dr. Bruce Fong that came out of this church married one of our college students in Oakland while I was a youth pastor? Yeah, I said, Yvonne, you sure you want to marry this guy? But that's what happened. There have been marriages between this church and Chinese Bible Church and Chinese Independent Baptist Church. As Pastor Glenn mentioned, he married Julie, and she was one of our college students there at CIBC. So our blessing to you, Pastor Glenn. So we've had all these connections. And one of my best friends is Art Hom. And, hey, Edna came from this church. So there's a lot of fun connections. But I want to share, I want to thank Pastor Glenn for inviting me. It's a rare window. I'm glad I have an opportunity to come. But I want to share another story about your former pastor, Pastor Alan Jen. How many remember Pastor Alan Jen? Okay, you better remember him. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story 40 years ago about Pastor Alan Jen and me. And all you old timers, you got to be 60 years old or older to remember this. For you younger people, you are the children of the next generation. Pastor Alan and Pastor Al, we were co-directors of a high school camp in CBM camp there at Mount Hope. How many have been to Mount Hope? Raise your hands. Oh, you survived Mount Hope. The dirt, the red dirt, and everything. Well, Pastor Alan Jen was single back then, and so was I. And what happened is that we co-directed the camp, and what happened is that we got together, and he was still a student at Dallas, and I was at the youth minister at Chinese Bible Church in Oakland. And he said, Pastor Al, there's a church in San Antonio that needs a pastor. 1978, I've been 9 years with Chinese Bible Church. I felt the Lord leading us out of Oakland. I didn't know where. Pastor Alan Jen, your former pastor, said, Al, there's a church in San Antonio that needs a pastor. And I was interested. I was open. And he made the connections. They gave us a call. And God called us to San Antonio for 10 years. Your pastor influenced me for God's glory. Then we found out the reason why we went to San Antonio. Three reasons. Number one, a college student named John, 1979, when we were first there, my first baptism was John. And what happened to John? I baptized him. Then I married him. Then I mentored him. Then I ordained him. And then I re-inaugurated him because now he's the senior pastor in San Antonio. Pastor Allen's influence got me to San Antonio just to baptize John. And now he's the pastor of the church. And then another great thing is the Lord says, move this church out of downtown and move it into the suburbs. And we did. We planted the seeds, and later on, First Chinese Baptist Church of San Antonio bought 5 acres of land. They built a new building. And the one that bought our church was Valero Energy Corporation, one of the company's 500. And their building was right in front of our little downtown church. And they said, we want to buy your little church. Wow. I met the CEO of Valero Energy Corporation. Got into a high power room and talked to the big boys of this energy corporation. And they said they wanted our church. And said, we gave them a price. And they said, no. I said, you got all the money in the world. You can buy it for this price. They said, no. I left San Antonio. And then about a year or two, they renegotiated and bought the property. And then they bought 5 acres of land up north. They built the church. And the Lord blessed. Pastor Allen influenced me to going to San Antonio. God led us. Pastor Allen suggested it. And we got 5 acres and a brand new church on the north side. And then the third blessing in San Antonio, we went down there, and lo and behold, God gave us a daughter. I got a Texas-born San Antonio daughter. And she is here today with her family. She's from Rockland. So I'd like to introduce the blessings of San Antonio. My youngest daughter is Krista, Andrew, my brother-in-law, son-in-law, please stand. And Alyssa, my granddaughter. Are you all here? There they are! Yeah. So that's what happened. Pastor Allen and I, a little conversation, praying together at a CBM camp. Got it all going. God is good. God is good. Well, this morning, God's put up on my heart to share what I believe is a very crucial message this morning. It deals with, let the peace of God ruin your heart. And I have 4 questions, 4 scriptures, and a challenge. And I'll give you the 4 questions. We'll look into the 4 answers. But at the end of about 30 minutes or so, I'm going to challenge you this morning to memorize these 4 scriptures. And if you want to take up the challenge, I would like to have you stand. Says, Pastor Al, I will take up the challenge. I will memorize these 4 scripture references because it is crucial to today's living. Crucial. It'd be for your benefit. Absolutely for your benefit. Like Pastor Allen says, this little church needs a pastor. And Pastor Al, you need to go. You need to go to help out this church. It was like the Macedonian call. And it was a blessing. So, I'm going to have 4 questions. 4 scriptures. These scriptures will answer the questions. But they will change your life. And I'm going to challenge you to say, I'm going to memorize these scriptures before Labor Day. So you have 2 months to memorize 4 scriptures. And it'll change your life. It'll be for your benefit. Here's the 4 questions. Are you a happy person this morning or are you a sad person? It deals with your inner being. I can surmise there are at least 12 or more very unhappy people in this congregation. I can't read your minds. I can't read your hearts, but God can. I just surmise there is at least a dozen people this morning. You are a very unhappy camper. And there might be even one person, that scares me this morning, there might be even one person this morning you're planning to check out, meaning committing suicide. I said, oh no. My first year in San Antonio, I was preaching and a mother came at the end of the service, I greeted her hands, and the week, happened, she committed suicide. I said, what a way to start off at a church. I didn't know her heart. I didn't know her mind. But I surmise, and I don't know your heart and mind. I think there's at least 12 unhappy campers and one person contemplating suicide. Look at Californians. They're unhappy people. What happened? We have gridlock during commute traffic. And gridlocks are like arteries of a heart. And when you have an accident on a highway, you have gridlock, it's like a heart attack. Something dies. One week I was stuck in traffic for an hour and a half. I was one unhappy camper. One unhappy camper. And many people are moving out of California, especially in the Bay Area. They can't stand it anymore. They can't stand the stress and the anxiety. My Bible study group of about 10 people, 3 have already moved out of California. They can't take it anymore. Very unhappy people. Are you that way this morning? Second question. And this talked about in Philippians. Are you a gentle person or rough around the edges? Okay, only you can answer that, along with probably your friends. But people, think about it. People are like sandpaper. You're either rough sandpaper or fine sandpaper. If you are a rough sandpaper this morning, you are rough around the edges. And if your personality is like rough sandpaper, you're a very abrasive person. You rub people the wrong way. It's terrible. I had to work with someone for 6 years at a funeral home that rubbed me the wrong way. I kind of bleed spiritually because he was so abrasive. So rough sandpaper are people that rub you the wrong way. They're abrasive. But if you are a fine sandpaper, well, fine sandpaper, gentle on you. These are people that refine you, that polish you up. You want to be around people that are fine sandpaper. They just polish you up. They refine you. They're gentle on your soul. And you listen to them. Hey, Pastor Allen was that way. We got together, and Pastor Allen, fine sandpaper. Give me a challenge to go to San Antonio. So, if you don't know, if you're rough, well, ask people around you. They know. They know you. You rub them the wrong way. They won't say it, but they do know. And the person that rubbed me the wrong way for 6 years in the funeral business, he didn't even know. He rubbed people the wrong way. Very abrasive. Third question, and the scriptures answer this question. Are you totally dependent upon God or upon yourself? It's kind of interesting. Pastor Al's a simple preacher. Keep it simple, stupid. Kiss. I'm a kiss guy. Keep it simple, stupid. That's me. But if you keep it simple, people understand it. But here's a simple question. You hear it all the time, but you need to react and respond to it. Are you truly dependent upon God for everything you do, or are you dependent upon yourself? I worked in a pastoral ministry for several years, but I also worked in the funeral business several years, 13 years. I've worked at least over 1,000 funerals. And I've talked to family, and they tell you their pain, their story. Listen to people's heartaches. and they'll tell you where they are at. But a few songs that they sing at funeral homes, and I hear it, I don't agree with it, but they love the songs, is Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. Well, that's a song that's saying, I'm independent, I'm self-sufficient, I don't need God. I did it my way. Listen to Jesus and his word, especially on the Sermon on the Mount, on the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, not my will be done, but your will be done. Jesus did it God's way. Boy, if you accept that as your spiritual guideline, you'll be okay when you leave these doors. I did it God's way. And Frank Sinatra sang it, I did it my way. And Americans love that independence, self-sufficiency, autonomy. I'm in charge. I'm the master of my soul. And then Jesus just swipes that away and said, not my will be done, but yours. We did it God's way. Well, here's the fourth question that the scriptures answer in Philippians. Do you have a troubled heart or a peaceful heart this morning? Wow. I said living in the Bay Area, I think it's probably just as bad here in the Valley. But things in the Bay Area is just gridlock. People have heart attacks on the highways because of the commute traffic. And life is full of anxieties, disappointment, and depressions. One thing Pastor Al has a lot of opportunities to do is talk with people, families who are grieving, churches that I speak to. And you look at the ordinary person in the congregation, they are hurting, full of anxieties. And we have the scriptures, we have the Lord, and we have the answers, but nobody's listening. So a troubled heart's full of anxiety. But a peaceful heart is full of contentment, satisfaction, and fulfillment because God fills a troubled heart. Would you believe it? In 2016, America had close to 45,000 suicides. 45,000. That's just like a small city. And most of the suicide, and I'm looking at you right now, is committed by young people from 10 to 24. You are the prime target for being suicidal because you are facing so much anxieties, depressions. Well, what happened? A wake-up call for the world, but you knew it was coming. July 5th, 2018, Kate Spade, committed suicide. She makes those colorful purses. She had wealth, power, and fame, and yet she checked out of life. And I would say a troubled heart. Something was troubling her. And a large part was family. 3 days later, on June the 8th, Anthony Bourdain committed suicide. 3 days later. And suicide is an indicator of people being troubled, a troubled heart. And all of a sudden, out of all this trouble and anxiety, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi. And he shares four verses that's going to change their lives. It's Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 4 to 7. And that's the answer to these four questions. That's the challenge for Chinese Grace Bible Church to memorize these scriptures. Instead of having a troubled heart today, have a peaceful heart that comes from God Himself. Wow! You'll be forever changed by faith. Memorizing Philippians 4:4-7. Will you take that chance? I'll be glad if only 12 people stood. Why? Jesus had 12 disciples, and with the 12 disciples, He changed the world. If I could get 12 people to stand and memorize these verses, it'll be a tremendous impact upon your life. At the conclusion of the service, I'll just ask, would any of you like to take this challenge, memorize these four scripture references, Philippians 4:4-7, by Labor Day? About 8 weeks, 2 months, you can do it. Take up the challenge. You'll be forever changed. I believe it. I know God can do it. Well, let's take a look now at the four scriptures. In these four scriptures, it's easy to memorize. It deals with being. God wants you to be these four things. One, be joyful. Oh, I love that. Be joyful. We named the middle name of our youngest daughter Joy. Yay, I love joy. J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. And I want you to repeat after me. I'm going to say it once. You repeat after me. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Ready? Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Wow. You're three-fourths on your way. Three-fourths on your way. Memorizing, you're one up. Apostle John says, be joyful. In verse 4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You who are Greek students know that this verse has a double command or double imperative, meaning this is a command statement. Paul says it once. He commands you, rejoice in the Lord always. It's not on occasion. It's on every occasion. It's part of our lifestyle to rejoice. Your leadership caught me off guard. We were praying together, and he says, oh, Al, Pastor Al, you're all smiling. Ooh, I didn't know that. I smile. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And that's a second command. A double command for emphasis in Philippians 4:4. You already memorized it. You're three-fourths there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not some of the time, all of the time. Question, why aren't you rejoicing this morning? Something's bothering you. You have a troubled heart. And the Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always, all the time, no exceptions. Right now, do it. Rejoice. And if you look at the outline here, it says joy. I see happiness and joy a little bit differently. Happiness is humanly speaking, but joy is always a God-given grace. But joy is not based upon what you have. In other words, material things. If you believe you're going to be happy or joyful just by having material things, the American dream now has become the American nightmare. It is. People entangled in materialism, it's not going to make you happy. Having $1 million, not going to make you happy. Do not base your happiness upon wealth or things. Do not be attracted to material things. Yeah, Paul said it 2,000 years ago to the Roman Empire, and it's 100% applicable to Americans today. He was right on. And he said in 2 Timothy 3:2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure. And that's what every American is looking for, is me and me. And me, I consume, I buy, I want joy, I want things. I want cars. I want houses. And it's going to leave you with emptiness. Look at the two recent suicides. They had everything. Power, popularity, and money. And what did it lead them to? They had troubled hearts. Both of them ended up hanging themselves. So, joy is not based upon what we have, but listen, joy is based upon who you have. Oh, we missed that. Simple. It's not what you have, it's who you have. Who do you have? 2 Timothy 3:4 says, lovers of God. You can only be one kind of good lover today, according to God's standards. And God's standards says, you want to be the right kind of lover this morning, be a lover of God. My secretary, administrative assistant, had a boy, and she named him Theophilus. And Theophilus is a Greek word, Greek compound word for God, theos, and love, phileo. So when you combine and compound this Greek word, you have Theophilus, means lovers of God. And that's what God wants every one of us to be. There's only one good kind of lover in this world. That's to be a lover of God, pure lover of God. Well, I've done a Bible study of all the responses, individual responses in the Bible. I got up to about 23 right now. I think in a couple years I'll finish this study. But if you're going to prioritize all the responses that are made in the Bible of us towards God or Jesus, number one is love. Loving God first. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when that goes, everything goes in your Christian life. If that goes, the church goes. Revelations, chapter 2, church is Ephesus. You have left your first love. You refuse to love God, then everything else goes. Well, rejoice in the Lord. Remember, it's not what you have, it's who you have. And you're going to rejoice, and you're going to be joyful when you have a relationship with the Lord. You love Him. You'll rejoice in Him. Joy is in Him, not in us. Joy is not found in things, it's found in Him. Remember the story when Paul came to the church at Philippi? Missionary? He came in the city of Philippi, and he saw this girl that was demon-possessed. She was making money through fortune-telling. And Paul exorcised her and cast out the demons, and the masters got angry. They took away their money-making wealth through fortune-telling through this young lady. It's exploiting her. And when that happened, they got so angry at Paul, they accused him of being un-Roman. They beat him. They threw him in jail. Everything that you can think bad happened to you happened to Paul and Silas. They were down, down, and down. How would you respond? Would you curse? Would you say, "Why, God, are you doing this to me? I don't feel good being thrown into solitary confinement." All bad things happened to Paul in Acts 16 when he was planting a church at Philippi. Then what happened? How did Paul respond to adversary? How did Paul respond to the worst things happening in his life and in our life? How do we respond? Notice how Paul and Silas respond in Acts 16:25. But about midnight, solitary confinement, black and blue, bruised, the ego is bruised, they're beaten, they're thrown in solitary confinement, and it's dark and maybe dirty and damp. They get the worst treatment. And what do they do at midnight? Listen. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. You sing hymns, you're praising God. And they sang these hymns, and all these hymns came from the Psalms, and the Psalms are praises to God. And the prisoners were listening to them, a locked-in audience. So at midnight concert, to a locked-in audience, and everybody had to hear the gospel. And that's how Paul and Silas were responding. Oh, how come you're so down, beaten in life, you're praising God? It's because they have the peace of God in their lives. No matter what circumstances happen to you, you get beat up, you get battered. A lot of bad things happen to good Christians. It happened to Paul and Silas. And what did they do? They praised God. Why? The peace of God is relational. You rejoice in the Lord. They were rejoicing in the Lord in the worst moments of their life. See, we think we only rejoice at good times. But Paul and Silas rejoiced in the Lord at the worst time. Then you know they had the real peace of God. Here's another freebie. Psalms 119, 164. It says, 7 times a day do I praise you because of your righteous ordinance. Wow, what a verse! 7 times a day do I praise you because of your righteous ordinance. And 7 times a day means morning, noon, and night, or all day long, praising my Savior. See, what happens, young people, adults? You only rejoice, and you are only joyful when you think good things happen to you. But Paul, in his worst moments of getting beaten almost to death, incarcerated, put it in solitary confinement, he still praised God. Why? Because joy is relational, not circumstantial. Let's move on. I got to move on. I just want to throw this in because of short-term missions. Pastor Al's gone down to Mexico about 5 times with our teams at CIBC Oakland. One time we went down to Mexico on a short-term mission trip, and we came back with the van, and every time we do it, the van breaks down. Oh, no! Van broke down. I'm not a mechanic. And so what do? We had it fixed, and then we went to a fast food restaurant to wait it out. And our young people had guitars, you know, and so we quietly found a corner. We start playing praise songs. Joy's relational, not circumstantial. The worst thing happened to us, our van broke down. But we wanted to sing praises to God, and so we sang at the back of a fast food restaurant. And then another group came in, and they got their lunch, and as we were singing, they joined in. Wow, that's incredible. They start joining in. We're singing, and the volume doubled in that restaurant. We were coming out of Mexico, and this was another short-term mission group going into Mexico, and we meet in that fast food restaurant, and we start singing praise song. And you know what the audience in the restaurant says? Shut up. No, they didn't say that. They went to the management, told the management, and then one of the workers came, shut up. They didn't say that. They just said, you can't sing these songs in this restaurant. I said, okay. So we stopped. But we are praising the Lord. Praising the Lord and joy in the Lord is relational, not circumstantial. Rejoice in the Lord. 2, let's move on. The second B is to be gentle. Let your gentle heart be made known to all men. Let your gentleness, your humility be known to everyone. Your testimony of your own personal life. I said before, are you a fine sandpaper or rough sandpaper? If you're a rough sandpaper, you rub people the wrong way. You're so abrasive, you can make people bleed spiritually. But if you're a fine sandpaper, they use fine sandpaper to polish things up. And you want to be around Christians who are like fine sandpaper. because they polish you up. They make you better. They don't hurt you. And so when we look at gentleness, Paul said to the Philippian church, let your gentleness be made known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. What's gentleness? Well, here's a good definition. Gentleness is not weakness, but strength under control. That was Jesus. Jesus was the most gentle person that ever walked on planet Earth. He was gentle. And he showed his gentleness when he kept all the power of God in control. When he was reviled at the cross, when the worst time happened to Jesus on the cross, they spat upon him. They did all kinds of mean things to him. He did not retaliate. When he was reviled, he reviled not. The greatest strength a Christian can ever have, being reviled by evil people, abrasive people, is to remain silent. And Jesus was under total control at the cross, and he reviled not because he was doing the will of God. So gentleness is seen as weakness, but gentleness is strength, your great strength under control by the Spirit of God. Jesus was gentle and meek, but he was not weak. Meekness is not weakness, but strength under control. Jesus said these words, there's no other greater gentle person, meek person, and humble person than Jesus. Jesus said in chapter 11, 20, 30, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Rest and peace, synonymous. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. Are you that fine sandpaper this morning? You polish people up. You refine them. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, peace in your soul, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How do you have that gentleness? How do you have that meekness? How do you have that humility? It's, once again, relational. We don't have formulas. We're not psychologists, psychiatrists. You have that gentleness and meekness through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, when the Holy Spirit controls you, the fruit of the Spirit is manifested through you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Self-control. What's wrong with the world today? People out of control. Shooting people. We all have these mass killings. What's wrong? People out of control. And only the Spirit of God can give us that self-control, that we do not do damaging or harmful things to others. We're controlled by the Spirit of God. When Paul and Silas are getting beaten, spat upon at Philippi, they didn't retaliate word for word. They had their strength under control. They threw them in prison. And they sang their songs and witnessed to the prisoners. Be joyful, first of all, is relational in the Lord. Be gentle, it's relational in the Spirit. And now we come to the third one. Be prayerful. It's kind of amazing that Paul mentions prayer now. And what was he doing in prison? Praying. And here in Philippians 4:4-6, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. If you're anxious about something this morning, nothing's included. If, young lady, if you're anxious about something, nothing. That's included. Whatever your anxieties you have or problem you have, be anxious for nothing. That's included. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. A Christian is always thankful. You know how you know and other people know you are a healthy Christian? By your thankfulness to God. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. If you've been coming to church for years, if you've been living at home for years, if you've been around your friends for years, and you're not thankful, you're in trouble this morning. Because a thankful heart is, in essence, what a Christian is. Always giving thanks in everything. And that's an attitude check. That's a spirituality check on you. Whether you're healthy spiritually when you give thanksgiving to God. And so be prayerful. In every prayer we elicit to God, solicit to God, share with God, tell to God, it's with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. See if this works in your life or doesn't work. You are most anxious in your life when you depend upon yourself. And you are most peaceful in your life when you depend upon the Lord. And that's what Paul and Silas did. Wow! I get it now, Pastor Al. I'm an anxious person because I really don't trust in God through the tough times and the good times. One of my favorite verses. We got to memorize scripture more. We do. And one of my favorites is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that's what Paul and Silas did. So be prayerful. Are you anxious? You depend upon yourself. Are you most peaceful when you trust in the Lord? If Paul said it, Peter said it too. Peter said this. You ought to memorize this one. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares, casting all your burdens, casting all your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Remember that with Philippians 4:4-7. Why? Tell me. You're smart people this morning. Why do you carry a burden that's so great upon yourself when God is willing to take it off of you? Why do it? Why do it? Casting all your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. Cast it. Give it to God, that burden, that anxiety. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. God can handle it. You need to believe that. You need to trust that. You need to experience the peace of God in your life. Wow. You know, Pastor Al loves basketball. I have a lot of basketball stories. I was 18. Pastor Al was a pretty good basketball player. Very good. I could shoot a jump shot, I could drive, but my most famous shot was a hook shot, the Kareem Skyhook. I had to use the Kareem Skyhook. Why? Because I had a little basketball court in my backyard in North Oakland. And all my friends, I had a lot of black friends. Al, could we join you? They came in, we played basketball on the backcourt. And so happens, I was the shortest guy. I thought I was the tallest guy, but you play black players, they're the tallest guy. And then I said, oh, how can I beat them? I had my famous sky hook. It made up for a foot difference in my height because I could swing it over their heads. That was what I was known for, a sky hook. I went to a 50th year anniversary at Oakland Tech. 50th year, and a black guy came up to me, one of my classmates, and he says, Al, I remember your skyhook. Oh, he remembers my skyhook. Well, that's what you had to do if you're shorter than other people. But I play a lot of basketball. And then one day we finished playing basketball. We went into Oakland Chinatown to get some snacks. Siu-yao. Is that correct pronunciation? Siu-yao. And so we went to a restaurant, and right on the corner, and right in the heart of Chinatown, I cramped up in both legs. Oh, it was so hurtful. You ever get cramped? It's so hurtful, especially a double cramp. I couldn't move. I just sat down on the sidewalk. You know what happened when I couldn't move? Two cramps on my legs. One of my teammates came and gave me a piggyback and carry me all the way to the restaurant. And my legs warmed up and the cramps went away. But he carried me when I had cramps. I couldn't walk. I was in pain. Took me to the restaurant. And then things were fine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what God will do for your anxieties and your pains and your burdens. Casting all your burdens upon Him, for He cares for you. God will give you a piggyback ride. He will carry that burden. I don't know what it is, but there's someone in here who's thinking about checking out in life. God will carry that burden. Don't take your life. Trust in the Lord. Well, be joyful. Relational. It's always in the Lord. It's not circumstantial. Be gentle. It doesn't come through psychology. It comes through the Bible. Be gentle in the Spirit. And now be prayerful to the Father. Cast all your prayers before the Lord. That's what you need to do, brothers and sisters in Christ. Peter says, casting all your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. And I like to come to a close at this time and look at this as a result of coming to the Lord in prayer. It says this, that the peace of God cannot be explained. It's beyond all comprehension. We try to figure it out logically, rationally, analytically. You can't figure out the peace of God because it's beyond our thinking. We're finite. God's infinite. He gives us His peace. We can't figure out all the details. It's beyond all understanding. It's beyond all comprehension. And then the Bible says in verse 7, "Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How many of you like Star Wars or Star Trek? There's something interesting about Star Trek and Star Wars. They have these spaceships. And sometimes you try to shoot down these spaceships and it puts up a shield. It's a shield. It guards against all the weapons, external weapons. Well, you see that in Star Trek. You see that in Star Wars. They put up a shield to protect the ship. That's what it says here in Philippians 4:7. It says, "Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The word guard is fortress, garrison. Shield your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. That's incredible. God puts up a shield, protects our heart. God puts up a shield to protect our minds from the onslaught of the enemies. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you're letting Satan and the world attack you all the time, and you today have no shield. No wonder you're so discouraged. You're not protecting yourself through the peace of God. The peace of God will shield you and your heart. Wow, that's incredible promise. Now I could close by saying this. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Jesus saw in His disciples, which I could not see, because I'm not omniscient, all-knowing. But Jesus saw in His disciples where they were the most anxious, the most fearful. He saw it, plain as day. In John 14:1, it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And a lot of people have troubled hearts. "Believe in God, believe also in me." It's relational. It's a faith relational. in John 14. So Jesus saw his disciples having troubled hearts. You have troubled hearts. But then, listen to this. Jesus gives his disciples peace. The shield to guard your hearts and your minds. And John 14, 27. Mark this down. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give it do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Wow. Jesus saying is he's leaving his peace with us. Jesus saying, my peace I give to you. Did you get that? All the world is seeking for inner peace. They're going through transcendental meditation. They're going through Buddhism, any kind of internal peace system. The world's going after. But they're finding the wrong kind of peace. God's peace is given to us. We don't seek it. We don't find it within. God gives us through His grace. The name of your church is Grace Bible Church. Chinese Grace Bible Church. Grace is given to you. Jesus gives it to you if you trust Him, if you believe in Him. And then Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. Let the peace of God this morning rule. Guard. Put a shield up in your heart. You'll be a different person. You'll be a changed person if you just follow the Word of God. Here's the challenge. Here it is. Time's up. I want to see 12 people. Said, Pastor, I'm going to memorize the Philippians 4, 4 to 7 by Labor Day. I'm going to do it. Four. I give you 10 seconds to stand. Anyone? Take the challenge. Stand. Anyone? Oh, no, more than 12. Anyone else? You get 10 more seconds. Oh, man, this is great. Anyone else? Come on. You may be seated. Oh, this is great. What a blessing. I can't count that fast, but George, there's about 20, 30 people. Do it, experience it, and challenge other people to do it. I want to close by saying this. I thank the Lord for coming this morning. And I want to celebrate a joy with you. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. So I want you to join in celebration. My family is here because they're supporting me. My wife is back at home supporting my other daughter because there's a baby party going on. But my wife and I yesterday celebrated our 50th anniversary. Okay, I say this, and all you people who've been married long know that this is a true statement. Yeah, to reach 50, that's a milestone. But Pastor Al says, no, not a milestone. It was a marathon. I'm out of breath. Lord bless you, Pastor Glenn. I'll turn it over to you.